News Talk's Executive Chair.
Thanks to Evershed Sutherland, Ireland's largest and most established global law firm, with full service teams for your legal and tax solutions.
And I'm delighted to welcome to this week's Executive Chair, Tom O'Brien. He's the Managing Partner with Forfus Mazars. Tom, you're very welcome to the programme.
Bobby, and thank you.
Lovely to meet you, Tom, and I know you, as I've met you over the years, but we'll come back to Mazars and all the great stuff that you do in a minute, but let's look at the younger Tom O'Brien, growing up in Temple Ogan, Dublin. Your parents were business people, is that right?
Yeah, that's right. My work experience before I went down the accountancy route was predominantly a family affair, I have to say. My father, my uncle and my aunt were all self-employed in different businesses. My father was a painting contractor. My aunt had an antiques business, which was a really interesting business model. And my uncle ran his own garage in Rackar. So generally from the time I was, I suppose, 9 or 10, I was farmed out to whichever one of the three of them needed help.
Yeah.
Busy. So
great experience.
Fantastic experience. My father used to say was the university of life, and I'll have to agree with him. I met an awful lot of interesting people. You learned how to deal with people, and I suppose it was very good grounding in the basics of business.
Of course it is. And you know, to train as an accountant, which you did, those early learnings really come back, you know, in your favour. As you say, you learn how to deal with people. You understand, I suppose, some of the issues around business, which are fundamental to the business that you basically provide today.
Yeah, if you look at the accountancy profession, the accountancy business, it is the quintessential people business. You're dealing with people in terms of your teams, dealing with people in clients. So, yeah, people skills, I got grounded in a very good school with that, which stuck me.
You chose to do your accountancy, chartered accountancy, through working in business, and again, I often say this on this programme, I have huge admiration for anybody who can hold down a busy job and train at night or at weekends or, you know, when others are out enjoying themselves. So that's a great discipline. But we probably don't do as much of that now, or you don't see as much of that, that people aren't actually prepared to learn on the job and, I suppose, to almost self-educate.
Yeah, I mean, I think the year I did it was the last year you could do that old system, which involved, I suppose, getting a contract with a training firm.
Yeah.
And then working during the day and going to college at night. But it was probably, that system was probably a symptom of the times. The economy back in the early 90s and the accounting profession was a lot tougher than it is now. And it was actually quite hard to get a contract.
Right.
So when the opportunity arose to go that route and to get involved with a firm on that basis, I grabbed it with both hands, because really, you know, my older sister had done accountancy and she came out in 93, 94 and there wasn't that many jobs around. So the idea of getting in that way, working during day and studying at night, just appealed to me. Having the security of a job. But you're right, it takes an amount of focus and commitment, because it is a tough slog. But there are advantages to it. You qualify younger. You have money on the hip younger when your friends are still in college. But you know, the downside are you don't have that college network of friends that.
You're into the kind of responsibility stakes a bit earlier.
Correct.
You tend to be.
You probably grow up that bit quicker, you know.
GAA has always been central to your, I suppose, your upbringing. That you were involved in Ballyboden. Have you found GAA helpful in a work context over the years?
Yeah, well, I suppose I had a good innings at Ballyboden. I played from the time I was five until probably late 30s, so I met a lot of people along the way. But there's definitely a network of people you meet, not just in your own club, but you've played against that you connect with. And yeah, when you have that common interest, it does create that bit of a network.
Yeah. In terms of the evolution to Mazars now, and now called Forfus Mazars. So there's an awful lot of consolidation, is there not, within these accountancy firms? I know you hear about Big Four and all this, yeah. And there's Big Five and Big Six, but every time I look at this sector, it seems to astonishingly that there's more consolidation and more. Is that really one of the ways of actually growing the business, that you have to be acquisitive?
You must. Yeah, there certainly is an element of acquisition to our business. But the private equity you know, the emergence of private equity is something that we have seen an amount of, particularly at the smaller and mid-tier level, where there has been consolidators both within the UK and Ireland, and some of those firms now are continuing to grow through acquisition. But it's not an easy one to get right in the accountancy market. You know, when you're operating at the size that Forbes Mazars are and the bigger firms are, clients expect a consistency in terms of service execution, methodologies, quality and risk. And where you have a number of firms operating within one umbrella that are recently coming together, it can be hard to
And you said it earlier that it's a people business, and
absolutely,
you don't always know the people you acquire until you've acquired them.
Absolutely, and we've obviously recently merged with a firm in Cork, and one of the things you're looking for is there an alignment of views on the people side? Is there culture and values of the people that you're going to work with? Are you aligned on that basis? Is there a common view? That can be difficult where you have a number of firms involved. And increasingly, as I said, our clients are looking for consistency and clarity. There's a few different things in the mix that have to be got right.
Yeah. You mentioned private equity there, and we're seeing it, are we not, with, you know, vets, doctors, pharmacists, all these solicitors even, businesses where they would never have even considered private equity as a route, but you're seeing all these businesses consolidating and then getting equity through private equity, which is, it's an interesting business model, isn't it?
It is an interesting model. And of course, the attraction is obvious for those that are that are selling to private equity in terms of the terms generally tend to be favourable. And
plus, it's a way out. It's a way of realising
absolutely
decades of hard work.
Absolutely. And that can be attractive. And I suppose in our particular market, I would say when you reference pharmacy and other types of businesses, they're probably easier businesses to go the private equity route with than accountancy practices. And that's why I think when you look at the larger firms that have tried it, it hasn't worked out just yet. But that's not to say it won't, but there are issues, I suppose, that are unique to professional practice that just make that model a little bit more difficult.
What are your thoughts on family businesses, Tom, in terms of, you know, the future for them? They seem to be less and less in terms of the overall business landscape. Keeping them going intergenerationally and that seems to be more challenging than it used to be.
It is, and you know, the recurring issue you see with successful privately owned business is the next generation issue and succession. And have you got somebody in the business that is willing to put their hand up and capable of running the business? And what we're finding is more and more, a lot of our work is around structuring businesses with a view to the future and how to pass those businesses down in an efficient manner, and not just in an efficient manner, but also to people that can properly act and govern those businesses and act as a for those businesses.
You're right, and there's often inherent pressure on people to take over businesses that neither want to take them over or are properly qualified, both academically and experientially, to do the job. And it's never good for everybody if the wrong person
touched on the key point.
Yeah.
Because, you know, oftentimes you see people taking on these roles for the wrong reasons. And sometimes it might be better just to get an outside party in or an outside person in to do that job, where the family can still stay involved, but they have somebody more experienced and qualified to run that business.
What's the future for a business like Forfus Mazars now, with your recent acquisitions and scale? You know, you've got nearly 1,000 employees. So it's a big business.
Yeah, so the business that I joined back in 2000 was 8 partners and 50 staff. So we're now at 40 partners, 920 staff. Our revenues will exceed 80 million this year. So we're a long way from the business.
It's a big machine.
It's a big machine, but we're very ambitious. We've a really young and energetic and ambitious partnership who really want to make a mark, and we've big plans for the future. I suppose our network arrangement with Forbes, so for the Forbes Mazars network is now a global top 10 network, has a staff complement of over 40,000, revenues of 5.5 billion, so it's a considerable beast.
So it leaves you, that opens up further opportunity through that partnership.
Correct, because Mazars historically had been largely a European operation. It had a limited presence on the East Coast, but now we have coast-to-coast coverage in the US, and from an Irish point of view, we're certainly hoping that with that full service capability and that enhanced pool of talent and sectoral knowledge in the US, that'll lead to opportunities for the Irish office.
Well, we'll keep a watching eye on you, Tom. That's Tom O'Brien there from Forfus Mazars. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, Bobby.